Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Andrew P. Shea. Ross Tucker will be along in a little bit for quarters number two and three. But first, Andy, most importantly, I know this week you're spending time with your brother. Are you getting out on the golf course?
We are getting out on the golf course. We played a couple times. We're going to play it one more time. And been spending a lot of time on the beach with my wife. So it has been fantastic.
But most importantly, how are you hitting the little ball?
You know, I'm actually, for not playing much golf this spring, I'm actually hitting the ball really good. I'm struggling to putt the ball well into the hole. So I'm hitting it better than I'm scoring, to be honest with you. But it's Florida, so there's a little bit of water that's coming into play for me.
Well, just so our listeners know, and when golfers talk about playing well, they talk relative to their own abilities. When Andy Shea talks about golfing well, he means it. Andy's an exceptional golfer. I had the chance to witness that. So Andy's the man. You got a scramble going. Pick Andy. Trust me on that. Trust me. Anyway, I'm glad you're enjoying the week, Andy, but we have Penn State football to talk about and college football in general. For the news, I want to start with this. ACC came out with what I think is a very big announcement. They will, in the 23 season, they are going to do away with divisions. And this is based on a new ruling by the NCAA where previously to have a championship game, you needed two divisions. The division winners play each other. One of the downsides to that is you might have a weak division. Hello, Big Ten West.
Hello.
And God forbid you have an upset in that championship game. You could have a weaker team be the conference champion, but still have no chance to make the playoffs. By getting away with divisions, you have the best team and the second best team would play the conference championship game, and it helps you as far as getting somebody into the college football playoffs. What do you think of this move by the ACC?
So I think the ACC, I think they unveiled a blueprint to help the Big Ten as they move forward and eliminating divisions, right? Like, so my thought is on this, I don't have to go back very far. I only have to go back 1 year. With the NCAA ruling that sort of eliminates that, you need to have divisions to have a conference championship rule, you can't fall behind now, right? Like the Pac-12's reacting, the ACC's reacting, they're coming up with plans. You want your two best teams, your job as a conference is to make all the schools money because you do that from football with your TV contracts. But your secondary thing is to create and give them the best opportunity to participate and be part of the college football playoffs and have success. Just look at last year. Iowa was 7-2. Like, you're looking at what your conference record is. The best winning percentage in your conference will be your conference championship teams that will play for it. That is the way the ACC model laid out. You look at the Big Ten from last year. They need to look at this. Iowa was 7-2. Ohio State and Michigan were 8-1. Do you forget? It's easy to forget their football fans and Penn State fans. Michigan State was also 7-2. So essentially the Big Ten last year had a team that was tied for third having an opportunity to play for its conference championship. I don't know what the tiebreakers would have been. You could say it probably should have been Michigan State because they had a better overall record. But either way, you cannot fall behind what the other conferences are doing. You have to create opportunity, especially when you have programs like Michigan and Ohio State who have proven themselves to be college football playoff worthy teams, especially Ohio State. You can't fall behind. The Big Ten cannot keep this division structure in place the way it's set up now going forward beyond 2022, in my opinion, because I think they're going to fall behind in terms of creating opportunity and good opportunity for their teams at the college football playoff level. They simply cannot fall behind.
And just to clarify how that would have worked last year, with the divisions, you have Michigan playing Iowa for the conference championship. If Iowa had won that game, nobody from the Big Ten would have gotten to the playoffs. But if you had a one-loss Ohio State playing a one-loss Michigan, despite the fact that, you know, Michigan beat them in the regular season, whoever won that game would be the conference champion and still have a good chance to make the playoffs. Now, the other part to this equation, Andy, is how you set up your games. Now, with two divisions where you're locked into six games every year with teams from your own division, it only gives you a couple opportunities playing the teams in the opposite division. What the ACC is doing is they're locking in three teams as your rivals who you'd play every year. The other 10 teams, you split 5 and 5. You play home and away against the 1-5, and then you do home and away against the other 5, which means over a 4-year span, you would play everybody at least twice. I think that's an excellent model. Would the Big Ten follow that, or are they going to try to make it so that they still have a 9-game conference schedule?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question. Are they stuck on that 9th game? The thing I like about the ACC model and why I think it works, it can be a good model for the Big Ten to absolutely consider and look at, is it's a 4-year plan. So it's the rivalries, right? It's like the three rivalry games are who is going to be your rivals. Well, they are rotating them every 4 years. So it's not like you're stuck and married to those rivals forever. And you get to play everybody. Don't be married to the 9th game and look at creating opportunity year after year after year. Okay, the ACC is not as strong depth-wise of a conference as the Big Ten, but they are absolutely creating the best opportunity for their team and teams to participate in the college football playoff. They're going to decide their champion among the two best teams that played it out that year, and they are going to give that team an opportunity to be in the college football playoffs. They can't be married to that 9th game. I just really think that that would be something that would be a real problem. It would be problematic. It's problematic for me for the Big Ten if they stay married to that 9th game and being able to sort of balance and keep up with the Joneses and follow the other conferences and still create opportunity for their best teams. 3-5-5, it works. It has merit. It rotates the rivals. So you can not like your rivals in the first, 4 years, but then you're like, okay, well, we don't have to have those rivals in the next 5 years. And you continue over the course of 4 years to play everybody home and away, equality, 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 creates opportunity, opportunity, opportunity.
And the other part to this, and by the way, reading the tea leaves, the Big Ten right now sounds like, I'm not sure if they're married to 9 games, but they're at least enamored with it, or they it.
Yes.
What I believe happens, though, Andy, if you do an 8-game schedule, you now have 4 out-of-conference games. Let's face it, everybody's going to schedule 2 or 3 cupcakes. That's the way it works. But this gives you that opportunity to play a good out-of-conference game. And I know Big Ten will talk television, and that's what they're interested in. But my cross-conference, I'll still say, like, Penn State plays Auburn. Auburn's not the elite of the Southeast Conference, but it sure creates interest. You have Ohio State playing a home-and-home with Oregon. Tremendous interest in that. I think by playing 8 games and giving you an opportunity for one more out-of-conference game, I think you could create some great matchups.
You can create some great matchups, and you can also add quality to your schedule, what is called now in the college football playoff era, which wasn't in play before during the BCS era, quality loss. Good loss, quality game actually can help you over the long course of a schedule and how it plays out. That is, there's so much value to it that don't be married to the ninth game in your conference. Be married to the ninth game for your television audience and for your matchup opportunity and quality opponents. It just makes sense, but, you know, has the Big Ten worked under the make sense during this era recently? I'm not so sure they have, but I do think you are 100% right, Jimmy. The ninth game is problematic because they seem to be so enamored with it that they need to jump off that and look at the bigger, greater good and not fall behind.
Let's real quickly get to one other item I wanted to ask you about. It's been several days, but Penn State has just signed, or not signed, but got commitments from two very good players from Alabama. This is Penn State going out of their traditional recruiting region. Again, two very good players, and you're going into the heart of the Southeast Conference. How impressed are you by that recruiting coup?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not as enamored with them getting guys from Alabama or from SEC country. I'm not as enamored as much with it. They've been doing yeoman's work in Florida and getting productive players. They know what they're looking for in players with James Franklin and recruiting in this staff. So I don't know that geography matters that much. Some fans I know, it matters to them. It does not matter to me. What matters to me is the timeline they're working on as not an elite team where they can pick and choose 5 and 4 stars at their own will. What they're doing beyond that with 15 guys in this class so far and how they move the timeline and the way they've set themselves up, that is the most impressive part. And the other part of this class is that the three of the top 5 commits are from the interior line, 2 on offense and 1 on defense. That is what this program and this staff needs, and that's why, to me, the value of this recruiting class is so much higher right now.
One quick thought on those two players from Alabama. Tamarian Parker, who is a top 100 player, that's an elite player. He's only the 9th best player in Alabama. And Dakari Nelson, who's also a 4-star, top 300 player, he's only the 19th best player in Alabama, which tells you how good the Alabama talent is. That's it for quarter number one, Andy. We've got Ross Tucker coming in. Stay tuned for that.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server, and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-8255. 0000. It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number two, and that means we welcome in Ross Tucker. Ross, it's July. Does that hit you as a football player that we're getting close when you see the calendar turn to July?
Yeah, you know what's so funny, Jim? I distinctly remember, especially in the NFL, that, you know, you'd usually be done middle of June and you get a good 5 weeks off. So you get a week off back home or something. Then 4th of July, maybe you'd go somewhere. Then there's another week you'd go somewhere. Then you're at a 4th of July party and you're having a great time. And someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, man, when does training camp start?" And Jim, it was all I could take not to strangle that person when they would tell me that. Because I still had 3 weeks to go. I was trying to enjoy, you know, some downtime, not worrying about that. Because I, you know, in the NFL, there are no days off. So starting July 25th or whatever it was, I knew until January something, I was going to be working every day and my time was not my own. I also knew that training camp is tough. I know it's a lot easier now, and I'm sure it's a lot easier high school and college, but it's still not fun. It's still the toughest part of the year. So, you know, it always gives me a little bit of mixed emotions. Now that I'm a broadcaster, it's kind of the same, because not nearly to the same level, but on the one hand, I'm ready for football season because there's nothing else going on that on TV or anything that I care about at all. So I'm excited for football season. The flip side is I work every day during football season, including every Saturday and Sunday, and a lot of travel, a lot of time away from my family, so I am going to enjoy. For me, I'm kind of still in a good place until August 11th, I think, maybe, is the Eagles' first preseason game, and then my broadcasting season starts.
So there's still at least a little bit of that anxiety and excitement for what's to come. So
yeah, it's always the mixed emotions. And, you know, what's different now as opposed to when I was a player, now I know I'm working through the Super Bowl. You know, as a player, there was a chance I was done by New Year's Eve and I was back home. Now it's like, I know till middle of February. So you think about that. It's like middle of August till middle of February. So it really is for me now, 6 months on, 6 months off.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ross, with that ahead for you, we will try to be as gentle as possible with you, so that you could ease into that 6 months, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's pick up our Class of 22 scouting report from you, Ross. And I say it every week, I know, but another couple interesting players, especially I'm intrigued by this first one, which is Malik McNeil. He's just a monster of a guy, depending where you're looking. I got him listed at 6'7", 340 pounds, out of New York. Was not really, really highly rated coming out of high school. But, Ross, you can't coach 6'7", 340, can you?
No, I wrote down my first three words on his scouting report are elite, ridiculous size. I mean, he sticks out like a sore thumb, especially in that Johnny Hedge Fund league he's playing in. And wherever that Cortland Manor, New York, I mean, that is not a high level of high school football. No offense to everybody that lives and plays high school football in the Cortland Manor area. It's just not. Doesn't mean you can't be a good player, but it just, boy, I mean, now he would stick out like a sore thumb anywhere, but that's especially the case, you know, with the schools that he's playing against. It was a short video, Jim, which I think is worth noting. In fact, both the guys we're talking about today, their videos were short, which is fine. The reality is, Jim, you can kind of see what you need to see from short videos for the most part. In his short video, and I've seen him listed at 6'8", he looks to me like he's somewhere between 6'7 and 6'8", well over 300 pounds, obviously. He scored a touchdown as a Wildcat quarterback. Then, Jim, he punted a pretty good punt, which, you know, do either one of those things mean that much? Probably not, but it shows you he's an athlete. It shows you he can do things. He's never going to punt for Penn State. He's never going to be a Wildcat quarterback for Penn State. But it shows that he has the athleticism to do things like that. Probably the most impressive thing was after the punt, he made an awesome tackle. He punted it, and the kid was about to return it for a touchdown, and Malik made an awesome tackle. You honestly, everybody, if you haven't, you should check out Malik's video. For any of these kids, by the way, we should probably mention this more often. You can usually just type in their name, highlight video, or type in their name, huddle video, and you can watch them. You're watching the same thing I am. He moves well for his size. And what I really liked about him, and this is important for a super big guy, he had a good motor. He had a really good motor trying to run down plays on defense. That, to me, is really important. Because some big guys, they're just playing football because they're big. They don't really have the heart or the hustle or the want to or the love. Malik looked to me like he had all of it. All of it. Initial quickness and agility need improvement. So it's just that initial burst out of his stance. It's the lateral agility were not great. They were both, I'd say, average at best. But he likes to be physical. He likes to try to finish plays. And I clicked on the wrong video at first, Jim. I clicked on his basketball video. That's awesome. That is awesome. I was sold on him by the basketball video. He can dribble. He can shoot. I mean, this kid is an athlete. He is just a really unique athlete for his size who is raw. And he's going to need some time against better competition and with better coaching. Going to need both of those. So I ended up giving him a 7.5, but I think there's a decent chance he ends up playing. This is like a masterpiece for Troutwine. You know, this is like a great piece of clay that Troutwine now needs to try to mold into a good football player. But I'm excited about him. Like I said, 7.5, but definitely in my mind, especially with the scholarships and everything else going on now these days, I think definitely worth it for Penn State to take and take a shot on.
Very good, Ross. Let's quickly get to our next player, which is Jerry Cross. He's the tight end, 6'6", 245. Interestingly enough, he's from Milwaukee. Penn State does not get a lot of players from Wisconsin.
No, I think that's very interesting, especially when you consider that Wisconsin uses a lot of tight ends. I mean, they use a lot of tight ends in their offense. However, they do a lot of blocking. Now, Tyler Ferguson caught a lot of balls for them the last few years, but they do a lot of blocking there. And if memory serves, Jim, they got him really early. I mean, I want to say they got him like before his junior. In fact, this spreadsheet I have, he committed July 28th of 2020. So he committed before his junior year of high school. It's just unreal that these kids do that. He's got a really nice frame and growth potential. He shows soft hands, which are important, and the ability to both high point the football and make contested catches. Not necessarily the same thing. Sometimes they are. High point the football is to catch the ball at its highest point. Usually that's in traffic. Contested catches, though, might not always be high pointing it. You just might have traffic, but you still find a way to have strong hands and make the catch. He runs well and shows some pretty darn good run after catch possibilities. Like he could be a threat with the ball in his hands after he catches it. Video was very short. There was no blocking. And I think it was only from like four games his senior year. Didn't show a whole lot of being physical. So those are question marks. Doesn't mean he can't do it. Just means how physical will he be? How will he block? He's a little bit raw as a route runner. And the passing game for his high school very much looked like a playground style. And sometimes with the inner city schools, you get that where it's not as precise. It's not as coached up. It's a little bit more, you know, street ball, so to speak. Not a negative thing, just like almost playground style is how I would describe it. He looks to me like a guy that'll take some time to develop. I think he enrolled early, which is good, but he's going to take some time to develop as a blocker, as a route runner. But again, 6'6", 240, soft hands, makes contested catches, moves well, is a pretty good place to start. A game of 7.7.
And I'll tell you what, Ross, if you're at the tight end position and described as raw, maybe take a while to get developed, maybe need a little bit of coaching, that's probably a good position for that at Penn State because of their depth there. There's not going to be the pressure to get him out on the field right away. So I think he will have time to develop considering the rest of the tight end room. All right, Ross, that is it for quarter number two. Stick around. Quarter number three, we're going to ask Ross your questions.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering Old State's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results. Located right here in State College, we specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or give us a call at 814-206-0000. Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. It's quarter number three. You know what that means. It's time to ask Ross. This is where we're taking your questions for Ross. Best question wins the KSN Polo. You want to submit a question? Go to our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Ross button. And Ross, guess what? Last week we asked for people who hadn't asked questions to send in their questions, and they did. So we're going to go with several newbies this week. So you ready for that?
Yes, I love it. I love newbies.
All right. Let's start. You know, Penn State recently has been recruiting in Alabama. They got two really top-notch recruits out of Alabama last week. So we're going to take questions from Alabama. How about that? We got
that
James in
great.
Huntsville. He's from Huntsville, Alabama. And he says, Ross, throughout your football playing career, who was your favorite coach and why? P.S. Inspired by you, I cooked up some scrambled cheese eggs after listening to the show, and my 10-month-old daughter and I love them. By the way, first time writing a question after years of listening. Thanks, James.
That is awesome, Ross. James. Huntsville, Alabama, huh? And, you know, it's interesting. I did some digging on that, by the way, Jim. And evidently, it's like a historically good year for prospects in Alabama. And James Franklin still has a very good name in the South from his time at Vanderbilt. And Penn State's been able to cash in on it. You know, Alabama and Auburn can't get all of them. So it's pretty cool. Very cool, the success they've had down there. By the way, I probably said this last week, but 2-1 eggs to American cheese ratio. You got to mix the cheese in with the eggs before you pour it in the pan. You don't like lay the cheese on top. It's all mixed in with the egg, with the eggs. And you got to pull it out a little bit before you're ready. A little bit before you're comfortable. Get them out of there. All right.
By the way, Ross, you're turning into, is it called like, you're an influencer now. A food influencer.
Yeah, I need, I should be sponsored by the Scrambled Egg Coalition. I don't think there is one, but. All right. Favorite coach throughout all my years, he said, right?
Yep.
That's tough. As a head coach, I really loved Marty Schottenheimer. It's funny, because I got asked about this recently on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I never did this before, Jim, but I had a listener come on, and rather than me interviewing like a football player or coach, I had a listener interview me. And they asked a similar question. And my answer is Marty Schottenheimer, who I think is a Hall of Fame coach. The two things that jump out to me about Marty Schottenheimer were, number one, he made it very clear that he prioritized people over players when it came to his organization. Meaning, there were guys that had more talent that got cut because they didn't do things the right way. They didn't put the extra time in, watching film, taking care of their body. And I think Schottenheimer realized that it's just a really tough sport. It's a really tough profession. And the season's a marathon. And you're not going to have a lot of success if you're not the type of guy that does all the little things. So I can give you a number of examples, myself included, of him taking lesser talented guys who were the type of people he wanted on his team over guys that maybe had a little more natural physical ability but weren't going to do all the right things. So I really appreciate it. I think that's a really good lesson in life, is people over talent. Because in the end, good people that do the right things are going to find a way to be successful. Talented people, hey, you might hit the lottery, but they also could be a bust too. The other thing is, Jim, that was really interesting about him, he was 100% honest with anybody at all times. So he would tell you, if you want to know where you stand, just ask me. So you could go up to him, and he would say, you got an outside chance at the practice squad if we get a couple injuries. You know, during training camp, you know, he told me, you're going to be here. You're either going to be on IR or on the roster, because I had gotten hurt twice in training camp my rookie year. The thing that people make a mistake on in life is people are afraid to tell other people the truth. And especially in pro football, you get lied to so much that a guy that tells you the truth has everyone's immediate respect. And that was Marty Schottenheimer.
No, that's great. And there's a lesson in there for any industry, I think, Ross. If you've got a boss who places people above talent and also is honest with you, I don't care what the industry is, that's probably a formula for success. Okay, let's, again, the newbies here. This is Matt from Appalachian, who says, after reading about the quarterback at Miami who's getting $9.5 million to play quarterback when they outbid Florida, where does this end? I could agree players getting some money and benefits is fine, but isn't this quickly getting out of control? Where does it end? Will high schools like IMG start buying 15-year-olds for their team? Why do? And finally, he ends with, oh, yeah, what's your favorite dessert, Ross?
Favorite dessert is easily ice cream. I'm a huge ice cream guy. Not a big fan of cakes or pies. Love ice cream. Now, I will say this. I do like a molten lava chocolate cake with vanilla ice cream. You get that hot cake with the vanilla ice cream and you combine them, or like a warm cookie with ice cream. But in general, I'm a straight ice cream guy. And it's funny that he says this, Jim, because I recently went to, I don't know what it's called, a convention, a meeting for Leading Age PA for my business, myfrontpagestory.com. And I'm going to show you on the camera here. People can't see it because we're audio only, but I'm going to show you on the camera. I got not one, but two business cards from two different guys that work for Hershey's Ice Cream. And I did that because my favorite ice cream flavor in the world is mint moose tracks. It is so good. Here's the thing. I never even knew it existed till 1 year ago. I was in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and they had mint moose tracks. And I was like, oh my gosh, I tried it. I said, where do you get that ice cream? They said, it's Hershey's ice cream. You got to be kidding me. I mean, Jim, this is 10 minutes from my house, and I've never seen it around here. And I had to go to the Outer Banks of North Carolina for mint moose tracks. So I talked to Christopher Smith and Johnny Molina, and we had long discussions about the lack of mint moose tracks in central Pennsylvania. They told me a place where they think it is, a grocery store that I'm going to check out. But even hand-dipped, they're like, you got to, if you keep asking for it, then maybe they'll order it from us. What is going on? I mean, it's the best flavor of all time. How is it not everywhere? If you're listening and you run an ice cream stand and you don't have mint moose tracks, shame on you. Shame on you.
Or more importantly, if you do carry it, you got to let Ross know.
Yes, good point, Jim. Hit me up on social media. Let me know if you do carry it, because I love it. As for where it stops, I think it's a good question. I think they're, in terms of NIL, I think it's a good question. I think they're trying to figure it out now. What I would say to you, though, is I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I think, look, schools like IMG, they already let kids come. They already, it costs $80,000 to go to IMG. They already recruit like crazy and have kids like Drew Shelton or whoever come for free. Noah Kane, they go there for free. So they're already getting $80,000 a year scholarships to go to IMG. I'm sure with IMG or whoever having all the top recruits, they can get, they can find NIL money for them if it's legal in Florida. I don't think it does stop. I think this is the new normal. And I've said it before, I'm happy for these kids. I'd rather see the kids with the ability that have worked hard and their families get the money than coaches just get more and more and more money, or more and more money going to athletic facilities because there's nowhere else to put the money. So you just have, you know, three video games that the kids can play in their lockers. They should be getting more money. They should be getting money that they can save so they don't have to live paycheck to paycheck, as opposed to getting, you know, fuzzy bunny slippers in their locker to walk around the locker room.
Real quick, Ross, because I don't want to take another listener question. I'll ask you real quickly. It seems like the complaint we get from our listeners about NIL is, you know, college football is going to hell in a handbasket because of NIL. But what really is the downside? I hear competitive balance is lost. We didn't have competitive balance. So really, is there a downside to the kids getting a lot of money?
No. I mean, for some of the kids, there will be, unfortunately. They'll blow the money, or it'll affect what could have been an NFL career or whatever. But no. Look, there was already cheating going on. They were already getting paid. I like that it's more out in the open now. I like that it's, to me, I think there is a chance for more competitive balance now. Now that you know it's legal, there might be more people willing to do it for schools that weren't willing to cheat before.
And when Miami, who's been down for several years now, when they could get one of the top quarterbacks who's not going to Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State, that adds more competition. Ross, that's it for quarter number three. We'll get our winner in quarter number four when Andy comes back.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-0000. We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. That means a few things. That means we have Andrew P. Shea back in. It also means we need to announce our winner from our Ask Ross segment. By the way, Andy, we covered two questions.
Well done.
Two questions, and they both had a food part to the question. So that's what took a lot of time with each question. Our winner was Matt from Appalachian. We also learned that for Ross, ice cream is his favorite dessert. All right, Andy. It's time for us to continue our position analysis. Over the last several weeks, we've been covering the defensive side of the ball. We did DBs, linebackers, defensive line. Now we're switching over to offense. We're going to start where we always start, and it's any conversation about Penn State football. It needs to start with the quarterback position and Sean Clifford. So let's start with him before we get to the exciting young players. My first question is, Andy, what does Penn State have at quarterback with Sean Clifford? He's been there forever at Penn State, and I'm still not sure what we have with him.
So when you talk about Sean, he's going into his fourth year as a starter, right? He's been around, it seems like he's in his eighth year of eligibility, right? And there, I kind of understand. Some fans are ready to move on, right? They just are, and I get that. His 2020 season, it was a bit of a catastrophe for him and the program overall offense-wise. But here's what I think when you talk about Sean Clifford, because he's going to be your starting quarterback. In 2022, it's Sean Clifford, end of story. He's going to be your QB1. When I think about Sean Clifford in 2022, I think about 2021 a little bit. I break it down into, you know, sort of three parts. But what grabs me is for the first time in his career as a starter, he's going to have some continuity with his offensive coordinator. And when I say that, I need Penn State fans to think of this. Think of the beginning of the 2021 season in his first run with Mike Yurcich as the offensive coordinator and Sean Clifford as the quarterback, what it looked like up until halftime of the Iowa game when he got hurt. When he was healthy and running this offense, I would say it is arguably, in my opinion, his best stretch as the Penn State starting quarterback until he got hurt against Iowa. His completion percentage was up just a tick. His mistakes were down a little bit. He was running the ball a little bit less. And his play was actually covering up for the clear-cut shortcoming in the running game. And not only were they winning games, but it was the way that they were winning games. So I'm curious on so many fronts to see in year two with Sean healthy and not trying to battle through a myriad of injuries, what the Clifford and Yurcich combination looks like in year two with Sean Clifford starting healthy. That intrigues me on so many levels. And I think that's something that Penn State fans might forget about because Sean's been around so long. You're like, oh my gosh, Sean Clifford again. But I look at it as Sean Clifford and Mike Yurcich, healthy Clifford, really good offensive coordinator in Mike Yurcich. What does year two of that look like? And can this offense with those two working together, can it return to being a lethal, explosive, threatening offense? That is what I'm very curious about because he's the linchpin. We know that. And he's got some help around him. But what does it look like with those two together? I'm very curious to see that. That is where I start with quarterback.
I have a theory that I want to throw out to you, Andy. I think Sean Clifford if everything is going well around him, is a very good college quarterback. But God forbid anything goes wrong, there's going to be major issues. He's not able to handle that. Where I'm headed with this is he's not good when there's pressure. When you have, he's not good if you don't have a running game you have to respect. So a year ago, through the first five games, despite the lack of the running game and the issues at offensive line, they kind of got away with it. But once he started getting nicked up, it was just too much.
It was
too
much.
If you've got a better offensive line, I believe they will have a better offensive line this year. I do believe that running back, they'll be better, even if it's just more options. Maybe Kevon Lee will be the best version of Kevon Lee, but if he's not, you have somewhere else to turn. Nick Singleton isn't a bad option. So if they're hitting on all cylinders, I think Sean Clifford, you'll get the good Sean Clifford, and he'll be really good. What do you think?
I kind of disagree with you a little bit, Jimmy. I'm not going to throw any higher expectations on the offensive line and the running game heading into 2022. I want to see it. Is there potential? Of course, yeah. But it's not an expectation for me. I think this is about, to me, this offense is about Sean and Mike Yurcich and not having a great running game and possibly not having a great offensive line. What can that duo do? I think we saw that in five games. Once he got nicked up, you're 100% right. Once he got nicked up and it went sideways on him a little bit, he struggled. Now, he was playing hurt and injured. I think he was playing both, which is a lethal combination. But it did not go well. But when he was healthy and when he could be at his very best, it was pretty darn good for a first take as those two together. That's why I think there's so much more that Sean and Mike together can do with Sean as the focal point. As the quarterback, I just think he can do it. I really do, and I'm not going to throw any expectations on the running game and the offensive line. My focus is on Yurcich and Clifford together. That is the key to me. If they have a better running game, if the offensive line is better, will that help him? Immeasurably, it will help him. But I'm not going to throw that expectation out there for him to be successful. I honestly believe that Mike knows how to use Sean Clifford at his best and can cover up that for a longer stretch as long as he's healthy. And I'm excited to see them do it as a combination together, having a full offseason to work together. But I'm not going to go with you and say I expect the line and the running game to be better. It could be. It absolutely could be. And that will only make it better.
Well, I don't think they'll – earlier you said about the offensive line, you don't think they'll be great. I'm not looking for great.
Right.
I'm looking for better than what they were a year ago, and I think we will get that. Same thing with the running backs. Let's dig a little bit deeper now. As you said, there are some people, Penn State fans, who are ready to move to the next thing. Of course, Drew Aller is part of that conversation when you get such a highly regarded quarterback coming out of high school. But you also have Christian Vaiu there, who's been in the system a year, has impressed, has some game experience. We saw him come in and play most of the game against Rutgers and handle himself very well. It leaves, I think, a little doubt that they're better now at backup quarterback than they were. But I'm assuming it's going to take injury to Sean Clifford for us to see somebody else at quarterback.
Oh, I think I 100% agree with you. So my expectation, my thought is Christian Vaiu is your QB2. He's your backup. There's everything that you saw. Okay, it was four quarters, but beyond that, everything you saw from him in 2022 screams he's ready. And I'll be honest with you, my expectation is Christian Vaiu is going to have to play in 2022. For Penn State, I think it's naive to think that he won't. Clifford's still going to run the ball when, you know, an average of 100 times over the course of a season. Last 2 years, he's been sacked 50-plus times. He's not, quote-unquote, injury-prone, right? That's not what I'm saying he is. But he gets knocked around a good bit, right? He gets knocked around, and he gets beat up a little bit. And there is so much to like about Christian Vaiu as a quarterback, too, going into a season with a veteran as your starter, that I just think it presents an ease for this offense that I don't think exists with a first-year talent like Drew Aller. I really honestly don't. And I think Drew Aller has to be exceptional and really do something special. Almost like you can't keep this guy off the field. He needs to be the starter in order to supplant Christian Vaiu as the backup quarterback. And like I said, my expectation is Christian is going to play in 2022. It's going to happen. If it doesn't, it would be a shock to me.
Did Penn State make the right decision in keeping Sean Clifford over Will Levis?
Ooh. Jimmy, yes. In my gut of gut says yes because of the way... Yes. Boy, that's a tough question, Jimmy. My initial answer is I think they did. Yes, but I also think Will Levis made an outstanding decision for the type of quarterback he is with the program he went to, that offense was built for his skill set. I don't think Penn State's offense, didn't matter who the offensive coordinator was, I don't think it's built to be successful with Will Levis as the quarterback. I think it's built to have more success with Sean Clifford. But I also think Will Levis found the type of offense that can be successful for him. But for Penn State, I say Sean Clifford is the better choice as a starting quarterback. Good question. Dang, Jimmy.
In the last minute we have, I'll give you another tough one. In Sean Clifford will finally be gone after the 22 season. With that in mind, how do you handle Aller and Vaiu?
I think you're back to the Trace McSorley, Tommy Stevenson competitive when James Franklin said it was a competition. And we didn't really think it was, but it really was. Now that we've learned later, it really was. I think that's where you're at. I think it is a bold, bold, clear-cut, open competition for the QB1 role between the five-star that James has coveted since he's gotten there and he finally has a quarterback and a guy you know can play the position. Who's going to go out and earn it? I think it's a wide-open competition.
And I don't want to forget, Bo Prabula is still there.
Do not.
And I don't want to underestimate him. So, but that's going to be the three-way competition come spring of 23. That is it for the show, Andy. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering old state's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results. Located right here in State College, we specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEK results.com. Or give us a call at 814-206-0000.